Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It's been a particularly bumpy couple weeks at our nation's capital. The House of Representatives is still without a speaker, more than 2 weeks after California Republican Representative Kevin McCarthy was voted out of the speakership. That marks the first time in history that a House speaker has been removed in this way. The GOP's current nominee, Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, failed to secure the required number of votes in the first two rounds of elections. And to show you just how unpredictable and how quickly things can change, less than an hour ago, The Washington Post reported that Representative Jordan will not seek a third vote for the speakership. So what happens now? And where do California's Republican House members stand in what has been and continues to be a historic time? To catch up on everything that's going on at the Capitol, including the Senate, we welcome Shira Stein, the Washington correspondent for the San Francisco Chronicle. Good morning, Shira.
Good morning.
Thanks. First question I'm thinking about, how has the week been in D.C. so far?
Oh, goodness. I mean, it's never calm in D.C. when you report on California politics, but the last couple of weeks have been especially nuts. The way it works, you know, with these speaker votes, is it's sort of a last minute call and you don't really know exactly when they're going to come. And then everybody rushes to the gallery so they can watch the votes. And then you sit there for probably 2 hours as every single member has to stand up and say who they're going to vote for. So it's just been really, really strange. It feels like Groundhog Day because of January when we did this for like four days in a row. So it's been a very weird time in Washington.
Yeah, it wasn't easy for Representative McCarthy either for him to get the House speakership. That's a good reminder. You know, so obviously you have to stay on your toes. But I mean, in line with that, less than an hour ago, Representative Jordan, the GOP current nominee, he reportedly said that he's not going to seek a third vote. Was this surprising to you? Do you know more about this?
So it sounds like from other reporting that he's not going to seek a third vote today, but he didn't say necessarily if he was going to seek another vote in the future. But it looks like he is going to back. There's been this discussion about whether or not you could empower the temporary speaker, who is Representative Patrick McHenry from North Carolina. He was put in this temporary speakership by Kevin McCarthy. Some Republicans are still saying that they oppose this plan, but it seems like Democrats are open to it, which will be interesting to see how that vote goes. But basically, there's debate about whether or not he has power to do certain things like call a vote on a resolution in support of Israel, for example, or fund the government like they need to do in the next month. So I think like everything on Capitol Hill, but especially right now, it's all really unpredictable and changes minute by minute.
When it comes to California, where have Republican representatives stood during this time?
Yeah, so with the exception of one person, the California Republicans have largely stood unified and have been voting for Jordan. The only person who did not was on the first ballot, Representative Doug LaMalfa from Northern California. He voted for Speaker Emerita. Former Speaker Kevin McCarthy on the first ballot. And he basically said that this was a messaging thing, that he was unhappy with the way McCarthy was ousted, but that he would vote for Jordan on the second ballot, and he did. So thus far, they're staying pretty unified. Even Kevin McCarthy voted for Jim Jordan, and on that very first vote when he did, everybody applauded on the Republican side, which I was like, this is a weird scenario to be watching.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine there's like these nuanced, unusual, quirky moments that happen that don't really make it in the paper or in the news. Is there any that you can share with us?
Oh my gosh, my favorite one is they were doing their vote and they were going down the list of names, and around the E's in the alphabet, we were sort of starting to get the sense that Jordan was not going to get elected on the first vote, which I think most folks were expecting here in D.C. But then they get to Representative Jake Elzey from Texas, and he stands up and says that he's voting for Garcia. Now, Garcia is a common last name. There are numerous Garcias in Congress, but my immediate thinking was, I think there's only one Republican Garcia, And that is Representative Mike Garcia from California, from Santa Clarita area. And in fact, that's who he was voting for. And I was like, why is this one person voting for a random, like, lesser known California Republican? It turns out it's because Representative Elzey was, and this is the literal title, he was the wingman to Mike Garcia in the Navy. They served together. So that was just one of the many funny moments that we get on these sorts of days where members are just sort of sitting on the floor bored for many, many hours.
Yeah, that reminds me of when, you know, you can always write in a candidate when you vote. Like, I mean, yes. he basically did that.
Yeah, and there were some, like, other folks who did, like, a number of New York Republicans voted for Lee Zeldin, who had a failed run at governor of New York. So that was, like, a couple of them. This was just sort of so far out of left field that I don't think, like, even Garcia turned back at Elzey and sort of gave him a, like, WTF look when he voted for him.
Yeah, the timing of this, too. I mean, it can't be underscored enough. You know, we do have an election. Primaries are coming up in, like, 5 months, at least for California. Obviously, the general next November. So given, at least optically, there's a lot of dysfunction going on within the Republican Party, how could this shape these really pivotal swing districts in the upcoming election? I mean, I think of districts in California who voted Democrat back in 2020 in the presidential election, but then in the midterm, they were able to flip it and elect a Republican to the House. What impact could this have?
Yeah, there's definitely a couple of Republican seats in California that the Democratic Party, the National Democratic Party, is targeting because they think that they have a good shot of flipping those and thereby flipping the House. I mean, this is going to be really tough for them. Look, like, one of the biggest things that a speaker does is they fundraise to keep their members in office. And so that was Kevin McCarthy's job, and he was really good at it. Not as good as former Speaker Nancy Pelosi, but also very, very good at it. He has said, now that he's no longer speaker, he's going to continue fundraising for those California Republicans. They're a very tight-knit group. So they still will have that backing. But Jim Jordan, for example, he is not known as the greatest fundraiser. So I think there's probably a lot of concern from California Republicans right now of whether or not they'll be able to keep their seats. Also, Jordan is, I think someone consider him to be further right than Kevin McCarthy. And that could lead to voters saying, oh, why are we going to elect a Republican, when that could lead to Republicans being in power and this guy who we think is too far right? And I know that's the case that some Democrats are already planning on making, is that, you know, a vote for, say, Representative Duarte is a vote for Jim Jordan as speaker.
Yeah, I mean, could be easy to paint a party with a wide brushstroke, whether Republican, Democrat, or third party. But, you know, there is diversity in thought and views within each party. When it comes to California and the Republican members in our state, how would you characterize them as a group compared to Republican Congress members elsewhere?
Yeah, I think they pretty much all stick with kind of whatever the party line is. You know, when somebody covers Republicans on the Hill, there's always the people, the firebrands. I'm thinking of, like, Matt Gaetz, used to be Jim Jordan, folks who kind of stood out and would say things differently from the rest of their party. But the California Republicans tend to be pretty along the party line and pretty unified. So, you know, they all were 100% for Kevin McCarthy earlier this year. They're now all 100% for Jim Jordan. Well, as long as he is the candidate, it seems like. So I think they're not a monolith, but they do, I think, tend to talk and sort of come to an agreement. I know California Democrats, also not a monolith, but they have regular weekly lunches and they all talk together. So California is kind of a unique state in that way. I don't know if many other state delegations that do that.
Given that this is such uncharted territory, I just know that there's obviously questions that can't be answered, but it does remind me of former House Speaker and also California, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, she had to fight for the speakership more than once. Has she commented publicly on what's happening?
She's made a couple comments about their inability to do math. She made these comments kind of earlier this year when Kevin McCarthy couldn't get the votes. But she's sort of known as, like, she would never bring anything to the House for that she didn't know she had the votes for. And so she's made a lot of comments about the lack of ability of Republicans to do the same thing, to know where their members stand and what they're going to do on the floor.
I would imagine Democrats as a whole in the House, are they pleased at what's happening right now?
I don't know that I would say they are pleased, because they're all very unhappy with the fact that they can't do anything except for sit and vote for Speaker, because obviously there is a war breaking out in the Middle East right now. There is funding that they need to do. There are so many things that they just cannot do because they don't have a permanent speaker. I know that they're definitely capitalizing on the politics of it and plan to use that for the elections next year. But I think they're all just frustrated with the fact that this is still ongoing. I mean, I think I saw today, this is day 16 without a speaker. I mean, things are always unprecedented in Washington, but this is like, this is a whole other level of not being able to do anything, because most of the time you need both chambers of Congress to get something done.
Yeah. Yeah. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Shira Stein, the Washington correspondent for the San Francisco Chronicle, about the ongoing House Speaker elections and other business on Capitol Hill. So let's turn quickly or briefly to the Senate. How has the newly appointed Senator LaFonza Butler, how's she been settling in?
Well, unfortunately, she's missing what would have been her first full week in office because she is out with COVID right now, which it still spreads like wildfire here on Capitol Hill because nobody masks. So, yeah, she's out with COVID this week. There was an announcement made about which committee she'll be sat on. Committee assignments can have a really big impact on what a lawmaker can get done, what sort of issues they take the lead on. And one of the committees she'll be sat on is judiciary. She will be taking the seat of the late Senator Feinstein on this super critical space for Democrats. So I think that's going to be that's something that I wasn't necessarily expecting, because it's a pretty senior position, and I expected it to go to a more senior member. But I think that's a pretty big deal, and she'll be sitting on a couple of other committees. And so I think it'll be really interesting. This is also the first time we're not going to have a California on the Appropriations Committee in the Senate, because neither she nor Senator Padilla are on it. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of money California gets in the next appropriations bill.
You did report recently on Senator Alex Padilla. He announced the formation of a new bipartisan mental health caucus. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, this is something that he and his staff have been working on launching for a couple of months. But as of 2 days ago when I spoke with him, there are 10 members, 5 Republicans and 5 Democrats. And basically, this is the first time the Senate has ever had a group dedicated to focusing on mental health, which is sort of shocking to hear, but the Senate can move slowly. But I spoke with Senator Padilla. He has this really deep family history. His mother-in-law lives with bipolar 1 with schizoaffective disorder. And he sort of briefly mentioned that in passing in the past. But he and his wife spoke to me and really went in depth about, you know, what has their experience been helping her get care? What has their experience been getting care during the pandemic? You know, his wife talked about her going to therapy during the pandemic and their 3 sons going to therapy because the impact of the pandemic had on them. So it was a really interesting and important conversation to have, and I think we're seeing more and more of this. You know, that he was not the first, but Senator Fetterman's discussion about his depression, about getting inpatient treatment, has really sort of opened the floodgates for many more lawmakers on Capitol Hill and in the Senate to talk about their own experiences in greater detail.
What does he hope the caucus will accomplish?
Yeah, their first priority is there was a big law passed in 2022, the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. A lot of people focus on it as a gun violence prevention bill, but it also had some really important mental health provisions. And so a big priority for them is sort of making sure that's implemented, making sure states and localities are get the funding and do the things that they need to do to make some of the changes from that legislation. He also said he really wants to look at workforce. You know, the comparison he made was after the Affordable Care Act was passed, many state legislatures took action to make sure there was enough healthcare workforce to actually meet the need and the folks who were newly getting insurance. And I think that, and he sort of alluded to, you know, that's what he wants to do here is make sure that there is the workforce now that folks are being more comfortable getting help and are more willing to get help. He wants to make sure that there is the provider there, that if you are looking to talk to a therapist, that you can actually find one on your insurance and at a cost you can afford.
Finally, Shira, I mean, as you touched upon, there's a lot of pressing issues that are essentially like put on hold, you know, as the House figures out how to move forward and what to do next. I mean, one of those is the government shutdown. Congress bypassed or averted a government shutdown not too long ago, but that threat returns in about a month. Given everything going on, what is your confidence level that it will be averted again?
I think that I'm more nervous than I've ever been about a government shutdown. You know, the last time seemed really, really bad. It was tight at the very end. They did it like the very last day they could, which is kind of typical for Congress. But right now they have to elect a new speaker, or at least according to the current rules, they need to elect a new speaker before they can even start considering bills. And the reason that Kevin McCarthy was ousted partially was attributable to the fact that he made this deal to fund the government. So I am really nervous that I don't know that they're going to be able to elect a speaker to make a deal, any of these things. I think it's going to be really messy. And it's the shutdown would happen just before Thanksgiving. So maybe they'll use that to kind of pressure themselves into making a deal so they can all get home for Thanksgiving. But it's going to be really close and a really tense few weeks in Washington.
Shira, thank you so much for keeping us in the loop.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Shira Stein is the Washington correspondent for the San Francisco Chronicle. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.